you can hear. Okay. Well, one thing a speaker always likes when he's speaking, he likes his hearers to hear. And so I'll do my best today. I'm fighting a little in my throat, but when you get 76 years old, things just don't work like they used to. I'm looking out here at some of these people, and they're nodding and saying, yes, that's right. All right. Well, we sang about the birth of our Savior. We look at Christmas as a time to rejoice, the miraculous birth of our Savior. It's an amazing thing that a virgin conceived and bore a son, and they called his name Jesus. He came to deliver, and he stayed on track, and he delivered. On the cross, he died, and they said, it's over. But 3 days later, they found out it was not over. Amen? Because Jesus rose from the dead. I went to a program last Thursday. My daughter bought us some tickets to go to a program, amazing presentation of the gospel about the Lord coming as a child. And then they finished it with a picture of him on the cross. And then they opened the curtains, and out of this stone, the stone rolled away, the light glistened in, and he stepped out into the light, and you could see his back, his picture, and I couldn't control myself. I threw my hand up and said, victory! We had the victory because Jesus was born to die that he might raise from the dead. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have it with you, to Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm not going to preach to you necessarily a Christmas message, but this message is all about this book that tells us all about this person called Jesus that died on the cross for us. In Ezekiel chapter 47, we read these words. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Are you confused yet? Yeah, well, I was too. But we'll get to that, and we'll see if we can straighten it out. Then brought me out of the way into the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, and from the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. And he measured again 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my knees. And again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? I love it when the Holy Spirit just calls our attention to something. He said, now, did you really see this? Did you really understand this? Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when he had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then said he to me, these waters issued out toward the east country, go down into the desert and down into the sea, which brought me forth unto the sea, which brought forth into the sea waters, the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river came, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters came thither, and for they shall be healed, and everything that liveth, whether the river cometh. Listen, this is all about a river that has a secondary application. And I want to liken this river to the Word of God. I want to liken it to the Bible. You know, the Bible is the book of authority. Any religion that has no book of authority is not a religion at all. We have a book of authority. It's called the Bible. I want to talk to you about the Bible as the river of life. And this river flowed out from under the threshold of the house. I got to wondering about that, and I went back and I reread a lot of the preceding scripture, and I was still confused about what the house was, but we might see something about that house if we turn back to the book of Isaiah and chapter 6. In the king, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord setting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, which had six wings, and with twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world shall be filled with his glory. I submit to you this morning that this house certainly must be the throne room of God, because this river, wherever it went, it brought life and it brought healing. The source of this river is under the threshold of the throne of God. If that be true, then this book is breathed and written by none other than the author of eternity. He created everything. He created it for his son Jesus. And Jesus was going to be the picture of the whole thing. I talk to people all the time, and they tell me all about the problems of their life, but they never tell me about their relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will transform your life. Jesus Christ, given the lordship of Jesus Christ, your life will be transformed. So the source we find comes from God himself. Then we want to look at the power of the river. This river, it says, flowed out from under the house, and it came down to the south side of the altar. The word altar is a place of sacrifice, and there is no greater altar than the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus was beaten. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They hung him on a cross, and there he willingly sacrificed himself, God sacrificing himself for those that will trust Him and believe Him, that God planned it all from the beginning and knew it all from the beginning. My friend, I want to say something to you, that if you're going through a hard time, God knew that hard time from the beginning, and God knows the end. Hang on to the hand of God and get through your problem. I didn't hear an amen to that. Huh? All right. The power of the river is found, the power of the Word of God is found in the sacrificial blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Its purpose. Let's talk about the purpose of this river that flows out, this Bible that flows out into the desert place. I was in Haiti, and I read this passage of Scripture, and I thought to myself, here in Haiti, this is a desert place. And here we are in this desert place, having the Word of God. We had the printed Word of God in their own language to give them as we passed through those desert places, those deserted places, those places up in the northern peninsula where people live in mud houses. And we were able to give them the Word of God, and they were thrilled to get it. I remember one time we filled our suitcases. There were 10 of us, about 10 of us. And we filled our suitcases with hundreds of gospels and took them into the country and took very few clothes with us because we could get them washed there. And so we took those Bibles in. And we went to a church in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, a large church, and we thought we would like to give everybody five of those gospels to give out to people in their community or to witness to people. They were marked edition with the Romans Road Plan of Salvation in it, and taught them how to use it. And at the end of the service, I said, now there'll be some people up here in the front that will pass them out, and there'll be some people there in the back that will pass them out. The service got over. These people flooded back there and overpowered the people because they were so excited about getting these testaments to pass out to people and share with them God's Word. The river flows into the desert place. People are excited about getting it. Some of these people, when we first went to Haiti, some of these people were up preaching with just part of the Bible. And they would preach that part, and then they would trade it to another minister for another part of the Bible, and they would preach that. And so we were able to gather some money together and buy some wonderful Scofield Bibles in their language to give them so that they had a whole Bible to preach to their church. The power of the river is gained from the altar. The power of the Bible is gained because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about the purpose. It says it flowed out into the countryside and to the desert place. Those desert places are all over the world. We did all we could, as long as our health held out, to go to as many countries as possible with the Word of God in their own language and give it to people that did not have Scripture. We went to Russia right after Perestroika. People had no idea about what the Bible was all about. And we went into a McDonald's. I might have told you this the last time we were here. went into a McDonald's, passed one out to everybody in the McDonald's there. And I took a picture of them eating their McDonald's hamburger and reading the Word of God for the first time. What an exciting thing. Because the Bible has the power to change lives. That's what the purpose of the Bible is. That's what the purpose of the river shows us, that it flows into the desert place. I remember when I was pastoring in Lake Orion, Michigan, I knocked on a door of this young couple, and they opened the door, and the room was full of smoke. It just kind of flowed out the door as they opened the door. And the guy sitting in the chair, he says, "Come on in here." So I went in with my friend. My friend sat down over near him, and I sat down right next to the TV, and the TV was going. I don't know how he saw it. It was so blue in there. And I said, "Sir, can I turn this TV off?" And I reached over and turned the TV off so I could talk to him about the Lord. We talked to him about the Lord, invited him to come to our church, and he came. And he brought his family. And he sat in a row right out about halfway back of this auditorium, but there was no way out on that end. They had to come back to the aisle, and he was sitting on the aisle. And I gave a public invitation for them to come to the altar if they wanted to be saved. And his wife stood up and motioned to him to move over and get out of the way. They were seated in old theater seats. So he got out of the way, he stepped out in the aisle, and she started down the aisle. And he said, "Oh, shoot, I might as well get saved too." Now, wouldn't you have a lot of confidence in that kind of a guy? But I'm going to tell you something. God is so good. He took the Word of God and transformed that man's life. And as far as I know, he started 4 or 5 churches with his son so far. After all these years, 30-some-odd years later. And so you don't know where you're investing yourself. You don't know when you take the Bible, the Word of God. I want to know how many of you have a pocket testament? A few of you, okay. You ought to have a pocket testament. You ought to have it in your purse. You ought to have it on your person. Because you never know when somebody is going to say something, and you can open that up and say, "Oh, God is so good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." They need to know that they're sinners, and they need to know that Jesus took care of that sin. What a wonderful God we serve. Well, let's talk about the healing of the river. Let's talk about the healing that comes. You know, we preach Jesus. We preach the cross. But the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us, it is the power of God. The healing of the river. The healing of the river gives us an insight of what the Bible does. It heals the sinful soul. It gives a hope to our lives. It gives purpose to us. I remember when I, after 25 years, resigned my church, and I wondered, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do now?" I felt so lost, and God whispered in my ear one night, sitting on my back porch when I was talking and praying. He whispered in my ear and said, "Bob, I am not finished with you yet." And he has not been finished We went to Russia. We went to Haiti. We went to Brazil. We went to Mexico. We went to Northern Ontario, Canada, to the Ojibwe Indians. And they're my cousin, they said. I'm part Chippewa. And so when I got up north, they said, well, I guess you can stay here on the reserve with us because you're our cousin. And I thought, okay, if you want to call me your cousin and that gets me to stay on the reserve, then I'm your cousin. We're all cousins, right? If we go back far enough, we're all cousins. And we used that opportunity for 7 years going back and forth up in the North Country, north of Lake Superior. 200 miles north of Lake Superior, people did not know who Jesus Christ was. We were in a little fast food restaurant along the highway, very few of them up there. And we were there getting something to eat with our crew. And we saw a big line waiting for the Greyhound bus. And we grabbed a bunch of Gospels and went over there and started passing them out in that line in the bus. And yeah, you can read this on the bus. Turn to page 42 and start there. And I got down to the end of the line. There were four guys standing down the end of the line, kind of separated a little bit. And I passed out the Gospels, and I said, here, this will tell you about how much God loves you, that he gave his only son to die for you. And one of the men said, what kind of a God would kill his own son? Shouldn't have asked that to an evangelist. I unloaded 10 yards to them and said, a God that loves you that much, a God that cares about you that much, and this book will tell you how much God loves you. And one guy stood behind me, and he said, sir, is there anything that I can read about this? I turned around and handed him a gospel, and I said, you can read this. And then I thought to myself, he needs more than that. I ran to the van. I had some New Testaments in the van, and I came back and gave him a New Testament. I said, as you cross the country in the Greyhound bus, you can read what God has said about this. 200 miles north of our border, they did not know who Jesus Christ is. Listen, the river of life brings healing. It brings healing to the soul. It brings healing to the body. People say, oh, well, God don't heal people in this age anymore. Oh, yes, he does. If he doesn't, then don't go to the hospital and pray that God will heal that person in the hospital. And you don't need to do that anymore if you don't believe that God is in the healing business. God is in the healing business. James says, is there any sick among you? Let him call on the elders, on the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. God sends the word of God to people's lives to heal their soul and to heal their bodies. My wife is home today, not feeling well, and I have a little kitty at home. We have a little white deaf kitty that travels with us when we out on evangelism trips. The children love her to death, but she'd been sick for the last few days, and so Mama's taking care of the baby girl today, as well as herself. But God sends healing. We need to lay down sometimes before God and just say, God, this is way beyond me. And God, we need your help. That's what this river does. It flows down to a healing place, and then it flows out to the river. This river of life flows out to the river, and wherever it flowed, it gave life. When it flowed out into the sea, there was a mass of fishes there because there was fresh water flowing out into the sea. This river of life flows out and gives salvation to all that will hear. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," say it with me, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This book tells us about him and his power to save the lost and give life where there is no life. You say, how does all of this measure up to me? Well, let's go back and let's just read it a little bit here. It says in verse 3, "And when the man had the line in his hand, he went forth eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters to my ankles." Some of you are only ankle deep in this thing called life. Some of you are dabbling around with Christianity, but God says, let's measure again and get it to our knees. Get in a little deeper. Then he says, he measured and the waters were to my loins. You know what happens in our loins? Our loins is where the reproductive organs are. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in the lives of those around us. God wants us to share his word with people around us, and that word will transform them, and they will be born again. Then it said there was a river that was so deep I had to swim in it. Listen, get in a little deeper. I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. But the Bible says get in a little deeper. Don't dabble around in the shallows anymore. Get into the knees. You get into the scripture and you get into a Bible class and you learn more of the Word of God. You have the strength of your knees. And then he says, go in deeper to your loins. This is a growing process, my friends. That's what this is all about. This river of life shows us the Bible, the Word of God. And the Word of God changes our lives. Get into the Word of God. Get into a Bible class. Get into studying the Word of God for yourself. There are self-helps everywhere about the things of God. Get going and get growing. What a time to stop and dedicate your life anew and afresh to the Lord, that you will grow more this year into 2018. Use it a year to grow. And as you grow, you're going to see your church grow. Because you just can't help, when you're growing, reproduce yourself in people around you. You get into the Word of God and your life begins to change and you begin to live for God, then people are going to say, hey, what's wrong? What's happened to you? There's nothing wrong with me. I just found the Lord Jesus Christ fresh and new in my life. Maybe some of you are here and never made a commitment to the Lord and never been challenged about your salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your hope. And as I close, I want to be able to pray for you. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and give a little privacy to some other folks around us. I wonder how many of you this morning would say, I have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I see your hand? I want to pray for you. Anyone like that in here? I've never made a commitment in my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you did God challenge this morning to go a little deeper? How many of you, when I was speaking, God was speaking to you? Thank you for those hands. Are there others? I see those. Okay. God, you see their hands, and you see their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you will help them get a little deeper. Help them grow out of the shallows, into the knees, into the loins, and then find themselves so enthroned with the things of the Word of God that they're swimming. They're swimming with you. Father, give them that strength. Give them that power today. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.